Praise the Lord. Can we give that to the Lord? A big hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Can I get a mic? Okay. I'm extra nervous tonight because I know that God is doing something in this church. We are living in the last days. We heard the message this morning. And lives depend upon the Word of God, not on what Sister Jenkins has to say or some song we have to sing. Thank you. But the Word of God. And I just want you to pray with me, please, because I want to be sensitive to the presence and Spirit of God. This morning, Brother Schumacher said that there are angels in this place. When we come to worship before God and we come into His presence, there are angels in this place that are worshiping with us. We don't just come in as a body of believers, but Jesus draws us in. He calls us. And because you're here tonight, He has called you into this place. I hope that you did as Brother Dixon said. I hope you joined us in worship to God tonight. I hope you weren't somewhere in your mind. I hope you weren't preoccupied doing something else. But we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of all. And this is not a video game that we can play and just throw away when we're done. This is life. This is life, and God is life, and He is in this place, and He is looking in our hearts right now. He knows what we are thinking right now, and He is searching us. His eyes, church, His eyes, it doesn't just happen at church. It happens on the job. It happens in the home. It happens when we're with friends. It happens when we're out partying. God's eyes are going to and fro this earth. He knows His own people. He knows us by name. And He loves us. He sees every fault that we have. He knows every time we stumble. And He loves us because we belong to Him. He knows every heartache that we have. He knows every tear that drops. He collects them in a bottle. He knows every prayer that you've ever prayed. He knows every desire that's in your heart. He knows you. And He knows me, and He knows what He's got planned in this place tonight. And there is a presence of God in here, and we've got to collect our mind and bring it in and focus upon the King of Kings and Lord of all. We've got to give Him praise and lift Him up and give Him glory tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank You that You're in this place. We thank You for what You're going to do. We thank You for what You already have done, God. We thank You for healing, and we thank You for salvation. We thank You for the gifts, God, that You have already bestowed upon us, Lord, and we love You. God, we love You, and we come before You tonight. And God, I just ask that Your presence would continue to move in this place, to move in our hearts tonight. God, use these lips of clay. And God, let Your word come forth. Oh God, let it be like seed upon good ground, God. In the name of Jesus, and we give You glory and praise and thanks. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just clap our hands? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We need a refreshing in this house. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you turn in your Bibles tonight? Hallelujah. We're going to look at a scripture that we almost every one of us, I'm sure, could quote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Can we read that scripture together? It says in Romans 8 and 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Can we read it again? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God," who? "To them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." Hallelujah. And would you also turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. If you're there, say amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." If we keep the word of God, if we live the word of God, if we love the word of God, in him verily the love of God is perfected, a continuation of perfecting us as we love him and keep his word in us. We've got to know, church, who we are and who we serve. Amen. You may be seated. May do things a little different tonight, if that's okay. Then I may not. Whatever God has. Whatever he has. This is his church. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Seems like there's always a stipulation. To them that love God. And to them who are called according to his purpose. We're here tonight because we love God. We're here tonight because God has called each and every one of us. I don't care if you're sitting on the back seat, in the back pew, you're sitting on the first, or you're sitting somewhere in the middle, or you're sitting over on the side. God has spoken to you and called you for his purpose. His purpose. That doesn't mean that when we come to God and we just follow after him and we live our daily life and we sing our songs and we pray our prayers and then we get up, we just go do our thing and we live our life. I heard something just recently, and it's really, actually I think it's the birth of this message for me. And it says, are we defined by who we are? And I had to think about that because I thought, are we defined by who we are? And I was thinking, well, for years, I was a cop. I lived as a cop. I thought as a cop. I acted as a cop. I was a cop 24/7. It was so bad that when I was in Australia, I'm telling on myself, Pastor. When I was in Australia, I'm not a cop. I'm actually being a missionary over there, pastoring over there, and I saw a shoplifter right in front of me. Wh- who am I? At that moment, I forgot. And I watched him. And I watched him take this red sweatshirt, brand new sweatshirt, right off the hanger. And I watched him look around. And man, did he take off. And there was just something like a dog and a rabbit. And I was the dog. And he took off, and he was so much younger than me. But I had Holy Ghost speed. And I started chasing that guy, and I said, "Wait a minute, you shoplifter, get back here. You can't do that. In Jesus' name." No, I forgot that part. I should have said that. That worked in Nigeria. I forgot who I was. And I did. I chased that guy right down over. He was so dumb and drunk that he ran right into the courthouse. Once he was in the courthouse, he got behind the screen because he had to take his belt off and his pants started falling down. And I'm trying to get the attention of the guards and said, "The guy just shoplifted. The guy just shoplifted." And finally, when they got his attention, by then the guy had run back out the door and he was running down the road. Now I got two Australian cops running down the road. And I thought, "Oh, I'm out of here." I forgot who I was. My way of life for 16 years and more had overtaken who I was. And some of us are carpenters by name, by occupation, by career. Some of us are painters. Some of us are CEOs and doctors and lawyers. Some of us are farmers and some of us are pastors. Some of us are singers and some of us are preachers and evangelists. Some of us are moms and dads or children. But if we've come to God, we belong to Him. And we've got to know who we are. Because we're living in a day when this world is so confusing and there's so much fear going on that we react to who we were before we come to God. Second Timothy says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And with everything that's going on in the world today, some of us have collected fear in our spirits. And we walk around wondering what's going to happen. Just before I left Michigan, there was a bad accident. A 16-year-old girl and 17-year-old girl, high school friends, were in a car and they'd gone up crest of the hill and lost control. And both of them killed instantly. We don't know what the day's going to bring. We don't have our next breath. It's in the hand of God. We are living in such a time that, listen, church, you may be who you are by occupation or what you do, and that may be so overriding everything else that you do, that if the bombs dropped, what would you do? If the bombs dropped in Chicago or one of these nuclear reactors got hit, what would you do? What would you react as? Would you now be that mom, that Christian mom? Would you now be that Christian dad or Christian husband that runs back for your family? And all of a sudden you haven't prayed in maybe a week, 2 weeks. Maybe you've let it go by or you haven't looked at your Bible, the Word of God. And now all of a sudden, under this emergency, this instance, this thing that happened, where are you with God? Who are you? Are you going to revert back to that fearful person? Are you going to revert back if you had anger? Are you going to revert back to that angry person? Are you going to grab your gun and run? I saw a guy the other day driving a U-Haul truck coming down the road, and he had a beard, and I live in Michigan. Detroit is full of Muslims. And I thought, oh, back to that cop thinking, I guess. I thought, oh, I wonder if he's got a bunch of bombs in the back of that U-Haul. And God spoke to me. And he said, he's just a man that needs me. It doesn't matter if we're Muslim, it doesn't matter if we're Christian, it doesn't matter if we're Hindu, it doesn't matter what we are. We need God. Number one, we need God. And God has called us to come out and be separate, to come out and be a light unto the rest of the world. And how can we, if we have fears, if we go back to who we were? Paul said, I die daily. You know, the gospel is really the death, the burial, and the resurrection is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And that's what we all come by. We come through repentance, and we come through the burial. We die out to our sin and our old life, and we give it to God, and we go down, and we come up a new man, the Bible says. And we are filled with his Spirit, and he's put something in us for his purpose. But we can walk a walk that isn't according to his purpose, but according, we can get so caught up in the things of this world, the busyness of this world, our riches. We can look at things, and the treasures can of the world can become our treasures, the activities of the world. Oh, it's not bad to go to a ball game. Oh, it's not bad to do this, or it's not bad. What is first, though? What is number one? That song tonight, Sister Tanya said, I want to give my all. My all, my all. Church, that is what God is calling us to do tonight. He wants our all, everything. Forget the old life. I was this or I was that. Forget it. Let it die out. Perfecting, perfecting, perfecting. It's not, yep, I've done it, I'm there. I've made it. It's an everyday walk. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And we all know this is simple scripture. It's familiar scripture. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean to you? Can you take this scripture to your heart and look at it and claim this scripture for you and say, okay, God, how can I be the living sacrifice that you want me to be? Your sacrifice isn't going to be the same as mine. You don't walk the same place that I walk. It's a good thing. But I don't walk the same place you do. You don't know my hurts, and I don't know your hurts. And I need to be sensitive to you. I have to, you're my brother, you're my sister, yes. I have to watch out. We are our brother's keeper, church. When you see people that aren't here, what is happening to them? When you see people that used to come to the altar and worship and they're not here, what has happened to them? That's your brother. I am so thankful for this church. Sometimes words can't express the love that people have one among themselves. And it's very difficult because you are my family. I love this church. Wow. I look forward when I get to come here, not to preach, but to fellowship and to see how you're doing. And I want to say something. I was here the last time on a Wednesday night. And I turned around in the middle of the service. And I wish I hadn't. Because half the church seemed to be gone. And the first thing I thought of was, my God, how is Brother Schumacher and Sister Schumacher carrying this? These people love you. They have given their life to you, to serve you. I don't know where some of these people have gone, but if you do, you need to talk to them. And you need to tell them they belong back home. They belong at home where God called them to be. If God didn't call them away and they chose to go, then they walked away from God. And they may think they're having a good time, and we can still love them. But if they're out of the will of God, there's something going on in their soul that's not right, in their spirit that's not right. God wants all of us, church, all of us. And I'm not just meaning all our bodies. He wants all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. He wants everything in us to serve him and to love him, that he can continue doing his purpose and protecting us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up a minute and just worship God. If you love God right now, I put that challenge to you. Would you just worship Jesus right now? Jesus is in this place. Lord God, would you just have your way right now? Would you talk to our hearts right now, God? Lord, put somebody on our hearts. Lord, somebody that we know that's not here. God, somebody that we can call and contact and talk to. God, somebody that you're working on. Somebody, God, that God has walked away from you, but you still love them and you're still calling them home, God, because you are coming so soon. Lord, the rapture is going to happen anytime now. And Lord, we don't want to see anybody lost. God, we don't want to see any of our brothers and sisters not make it, God. Lord, and if that's what's happening, God, put them on our heart. Lord, put them on our heart, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Turn to James chapter 3. I'm telling you, church, we don't have any excuse for not serving God. I have a friend of mine that I just love this family, Brother and Sister Brown in Battle Creek. He's 78 and she's close to him. And he had a church started in his house for a while and outgrew it. And I'm not sure what happened. I think of the Golden Girls, but it's not. It's the five sisters the Gordon sisters. Brother Gordon, the father, asked him to come and help. He's a church planter, and he's done a lot for God. And the pastor in Battle Creek will have him come up and talk. 78 years old, diabetic. God healed him of his hearing, but left his feet still with pain. And he gets up there and he'll be preaching like an old time preacher, you know. And then all of a sudden with his diabetes, and God hasn't touched my feet yet, but I can still dance. Woo, you know, 78 years old. And he's still serving God and he's still loving God. And he's going to Africa in February. And when I told him, I talk about our church all the time. And he says, tell that pastor, I want to come and preach for him. And he wants to preach for everybody. And they walk every day at the mall, and he hands out cards more than anybody. He loves God. Church, we are not going to have an excuse if we don't make it. Because there's always somebody that's got something harder, something worse than we do. And they're standing for God. They've made it through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In James chapter 3. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Oop, I think I got the wrong chapter there. Yep, chapter 2. James chapter 2. And verse, all right, let's start at 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by thy works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If we bring our sad, sorry carcass to church, and we sit at church, and we can't raise our hands, and we can't lift our voice, but we just sit there because we had a rough day, or because I'm a painter and I painted all day, or because I'm a this and I'm a that, or I did this and I did that all day, and I'm really tired, but I made it to church. Faith without works is dead. It's not a two-hour Sunday morning walk with God. It's not a two-hour Sunday night walk with God. And God forbid that some should come on Wednesday night. You can laugh, you can sit there and talk, but I'm telling you, church, when the rapture happens and you're left behind, it's not a laughing matter. The world's going to be different. It's already changing. God is coming soon, very soon. And we need to be ready. Faith without works is dead. If we just come to church and do nothing, we don't talk about God at school. We hide because maybe we look a little bit different. Or maybe we don't look different at all at school. Maybe once we get to school, we conform to what the school looks like. And we hide behind who we are or what we are. God sees everything. God is impressed with our faith, though. If we have faith and we walk in faith, verse 21 of that second chapter says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. We sing that song, I am a friend of God. And you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We have to do something with our faith, church. We have to be busy. There is a lost and dying world. Sister Bidding and I were talking yesterday. about the city of Racine and around the area, and how years ago, the spirit of the enemy was broken. We used to say that his back was broken over this city. When I was looking for a place to live, and I was getting on the internet, and I looked at all the schools, I mean, they show you what kind of schools are in the area. All the schools are listed as a D or D minus, except for one, and that was a C or C minus. The schools in Racine are rated that way. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. The enemy wants your mind. He wants your activities. He wants you to serve him. But God has given us something else. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If we ask anything in his name, believing, he will do it. Where two or three are gathered in the midst, there he is. That's why the angels are in this house. That's why the presence of God is so great in this house. God has called you for a purpose, not to just join the crowd and be one of whoever or whatever. But we've got to know who we are. We are called of God. We are to be Christians, which means Christ-like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is great. Turn to 1 John 3:2. Who are we? We're lights shining in the world. That's who we are. When I flew in this weekend, I got a late start. Everything and its brother seemed to go wrong. I left my church clothes at home, had to go back and get them. Got in the plane, it wouldn't go forward, and I looked and the chocks were under the tire. I hadn't flown for a while. Turned the engine back off, got out, got the chocks off, got back in, turned the engine on, wouldn't start. The battery was dead. I thought, Lord, am I supposed to come? And I knew I was. And so turned on the plane, and by the time I got to Racine, it was really dark. I'm not supposed to fly at night. I haven't been checked out since I've been back for night flying. And it's dark. And so I call in my runway, and I hit the button on my mic, because if you hit the button 7 times, the lights on the runway come open. And I'm telling you, I thought, where is Racine? I knew Kenosha, and I got a GPS, you know, and I'm just trying to find everything, and I'm trying to turn on my light to the panel so I can see how fast I'm going so I don't stall. And finally, there was the lights of Racine. There was the beacon. And it was like, I'm home. Church, that's what you are. You are that beacon that shines in the midst of darkness. And when you begin to talk the word of God and somebody starts to feel that presence of God around you, they feel this home. When we went to Israel, I don't know how it was with you, Pastor and Sister Schumacher, but when we went to Israel, it was like, oh, this is home. It felt good. I mean, there was a feeling of home in that place. When we talk about God to a lost and starving soul, what they're beginning to feel is the presence of God through the word of God. That word is alive, and you are planting seeds in that heart, and there's something that heart is hungry for, and they may not even know. Brother Kevin, the reins, God is putting reins in that heart, and he wants to gently pull them and gently lead them to a place that's safe. And this place is a safety house for those that are lost. But the only way they can find it is if there's a light. And we are that light, church. We've got to do something with our faith. We say we have faith. We have faith to come to the house of God. But what are we doing with it outside of this place? Are we using that faith? Are we really talking to people? Do we really? This is the main thing. Do we really have a love for people? Or do we just have a love for ourselves? Are we really reaching out because we have a compassion for people? Or is it we're so busy with our time and so busy with our life that we're too fast? Like, oh, hey, Sister Chrissy, if you weren't sister, how you doing today? Yeah? Okay, you're not feeling really good? Okay. Well, you know, Jesus could touch you. All right, see ya. What happens if God has been dealing with her? And of course he has, because he brought you to her. And all you could do is take time to say, hey, how you doing? And her soul is so hungry, looking. She doesn't even know it. But when you begin to say, hey, honey, you may not say, hey, honey. They say, hey, honey, a lot in Battle Creek. Hey, hon. There are a lot of Southerners moved up to the North, and they forgot about they forgot who they are. Well, they didn't forget who they are. They're still acting like Southerners. Hey, hon, how are you? You don't look good today. Well, we're not saying that because she doesn't look good. But if she was a soul, you know, I know a God that loves you so much. He loves you. He cares about you. And if you don't mind, if you're really not feeling good, I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay? May I pray for you? Amen. In Jesus' name. Then again, you might get the lady I got that says, oh, no, I feel fine. But believe me, there's plenty more hungry people that need to be sitting here with us. Your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your sons, your aunts, your uncles, people who have never heard that are waiting to hear. God is waiting to send you. He's just waiting on you to go. He's put a call in our heart. He wants us to know who we are and remember who we are so we don't get caught up in who we were. I die daily. I am no longer, but I am now who I am. I love God. I serve God. I'm called by God. I am a Christian. Last scripture in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What greater title could we have than having a God that came to earth and died for us, gave his life for us, his blood for us, covered us, called us, wants to live inside us, doesn't want to just leave us, but he stays with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He walks with us. He leads us. He guides us. And he calls us sons and daughters. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God is working in us, as the musicians come, please, to be like him. Every day we can be more and more like him through his word, through his spirit. He's called us, church. You can stand.
Thank you, Sister Jenkins. You know, good preaching will convict you. It'll cause you to change. In Mark, the second chapter, three brothers tore off a roof to get their brother down to Jesus. And then it said, when Jesus saw their faith, works, faith. And I guess We can all be guilty of having faith, but we don't have any works to go with it. Last Sunday afternoon after church, we were in a restaurant. I mentioned it. We prayed for our food. We talked about God. But then right next to us was a couple. And God spoke to me about them. Now, I could have just simply said, well, God, bless them. But I walked over there and I said, so what's your need? And the man hung his head and said, I've got Alzheimer's. And now they've taken my driver's license away and my wife has to do so much for me. And without hesitation, it was just God in me that just reached over and grabbed him by his shoulder and started praying right in the middle of a crowded restaurant. And when Jesus sees your faith, which is really action because of your belief. And church, I'm afraid that sometimes we can get to the place where we have faith, but nobody sees our faith. There's no action that accompanies our faith. And there is something that happens within us when we put our faith in action and talk to somebody or do something. Oh my. Then there's something within us that wells up and said, God is so good. God is so great. You know, but just to be a Christian without exerting the efforts and the position that God has put us in causes us to die. It really does. God, help us to have a burden for those that are around us, God, especially at this time of the year. Lord, that we be moved by your Spirit, God, sensitive to the things and the people that are around us, God, that you could say from heaven, I see their faith by their actions. Help us, God, to have actions that accompany the position of who we really are, to demonstrate to this world that we have something that they need. Jesus. Jesus. God, give us a burden. Jesus.
Self-aware.